God. Praise God. Hope everyone's had a wonderful day, ready for a powerful move of God this evening. Let's all stand and we'll go to the Lord in prayer if you can. Let's praise God. If you have a prayer request this evening, just show by the raising of your hand. Just love the Lord this evening. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just love you. Lord, we praise your holy name, dear Lord. We just want to lift you up and honor you, my God. We just want to worship you. Dear Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather here tonight, dear Lord, as we get together an opportunity to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ, dear Lord. But we want to put you as our center focus as always. Yes. Dear Lord, may we be in one mind and one accord. Dear Lord, ready to receive your word. Dear Lord, ready to worship you. And dear Lord, ready to be obedient to your will. Dear Lord, as we gather together tonight, we've shown by the raising of our hands those prayer needs, those requests. Dear Lord, we ask that you'll touch each and every one. Dear Lord, we know that you're the healer, the provider, the comforter. Dear Lord, and we just thank you for allowing us, dear Lord, again, this opportunity to gather. Lord, now as we prepare for this service, dear Lord, we just want to again honor and praise you. Lord, please receive every hand that's raised, every instrument that's played, dear Lord, as praise and worship to you. Our Father, for those that aren't able to be with us tonight, whether they're sick and shut in, traveling, dear Lord, or in nursing homes or assisted livings in the hospital or at home in recovery, dear Lord, we ask that you'll touch each and every one. And, dear Lord, we give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say, amen, amen. Let's give you one more hand clap. Praise the Lord. I don't think we can praise the Lord enough. While you're standing, turn to page 52. Jesus, hold my hand. Praise the Lord. You may be seated if you can. Turn around and give somebody a wave and just let them know that Jesus loves them. All of you watching online, welcome to First Pentecostal in Villa Rica. Love each and every one of you. We miss you. Wish you could be here with us. Whether you're traveling or you're at home recovering or you're going through some situation or if you're watching this at a later date, just feel free to just worship the Lord with us and know that we love Jesus because it's not about us. It's all about Him. Praise God. Praise God. We're going to get ready and take up the evening offering, but I'm going to start just really reminding everybody about our revival coming up August 23rd, 24th, and 25th. It's a Monday through Wednesday as Brother Jefferson Morrow is going to be bringing the word. We'll be worshiping with him. I know there's some other churches are invited. There's going to be some other music and other things that will be done. So it's really a lot of plans are going into it. Be in much prayer for our revival. And also, we're going to be in prayer for you as you are for us. We just give the Lord all the glory. Praise God. Brother Trey, do you want to pray over the offering? I know you do. Brother Thomas, go ahead. Put him on the spot. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen.
So you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth You know, with all the uncertainty that's going on in the world today, you know, it's hard to think about what's going to happen to tomorrow. But you know what? I know who holds tomorrow.
Yes,
don't you? Thank God for that. So put all worries behind us because He's got it under control. Whenever you're ready back there.
I don't know about tomorrow, I just live from day to day. I don't borrow from the sunshine, for its skies may turn to gray. I don't worry for the future, for I know what Jesus said, and today He walks beside me, for He knows what lies ahead. Many things about tomorrow I don't see. The sparrow is the one who stands by me, and the path that is my portion may be through the flame or flood, but His presence goes before me, and I'm covered with His blood. Many things about tomorrow I don't see to understand, but I know
Ethan. Songs just came on my heart. Y'all worship as I sing Praise His Name. When you're up against a wall and your mountain seems so tall and you realize life's not always fair, you can run away and hide. Let the old man decide. Or you can change your circumstances with a prayer. When everything falls apart, praise His name. When you have a broken heart, raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me, and you'll take the pain away. Praise His name. When you feel you can't go on, raise your hands and say, greater is He that is within me. And you can praise the hurt away. If you'll just praise His name, oh, then you can overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. You'll see the darkness go as your faith begins to grow. You're not alone, so how can you be lonely? When everything falls apart, praise His name. When you have a broken heart, raise your hands and say, Lord, you're all I need. You're everything to me, and you'll take the pain away. When it seems you're all alone, praise His name. When you feel you can't go on, raise your hand. Within me, and you can praise the hurt away. Greater is He that is within me, and you can praise the hurt away. If you'll just praise His name. Hallelujah.
Can you say amen?
Amen.
What a powerful song. The message is so true. Just praise His hurt away. Amen. God is great, isn't He?
Yes.
So good.
Amen.
Bible says He's great and greatly to be praised. Now, a special treat for you tonight. Brother Tony's going to be helping us out and bringing the word tonight.
Praise
we
God.
Asked him the other night. I know he's been on call and worked a lot, but we're going to work him again tonight. Brother Tony, come on, take your liberty in the Lord.
Yes,
huh?
Amen.
Amen. Bring us what the Lord has laid upon your heart.
Praise God. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be here tonight.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
This is one of those things that it's one of the greatest honors to do, but to me it humbles you because there's no way I should be even thought of to be able to stand up here and talk to people. But what better to be able to talk about than to talk about God and His love and what He's done for me. I pray that my life shines that every day, everywhere I go. I know it don't always happen. I slip, I fall, I stumble more than I should. But I praise God for holding on to me and never letting me go. Because I know He should have many and many a times, but I thank God that His hand never fails us. If you would, we'll start out in Genesis chapter 37. We'll read just 1 through 4. Genesis 37, 1 through 4. Excuse me. And Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Brother Eddie, would you mind?
Dear Heavenly Father, how we love and thank you, God, for your many, many blessings, for your grace and for your mercy. Father, we ask you now, God, to anoint these lips of clay. Be with Brother Tony, God, anoint him to bring the word, God, that you've laid upon his heart. Help it to be, God, received in our spirit, Lord, and we ask you to bless and touch those who are in need of prayer tonight, and we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Brother Eddie. Tonight, if I had a title, it would be Failure is Not an Option.
All right.
Failure is not an option. You see, I feel like sometimes we have a plan for our life. We've got it laid out, and we want God to just follow where we want to go. What He wants really don't matter to us sometimes. We want what we want, and He should just follow along because that's what we want. He said He gives desires of our hearts. Well, I think sometimes we use that in a perverse way. We use it as what we want instead of following the will of God. You see, when things happen to us in our lives and it throws us off the course of what we think should happen, then we automatically start blaming God and start turning away from Him and start telling Him about how He really don't love us. He really don't care for us, because it's easy to do. It's easy. We had a sister today, she was talking, and she said, you know, it's hard. Sometimes you have faith, but you don't have faith. She said, you have faith that God can do anything, but when it comes to yourself, don't feel like I really have the faith. And I feel that way a lot of times with myself. I feel like God can do anything. I can tell you what He can do. I can tell you what He's done in my life. I can tell you what He's done in others' lives, what I've seen Him do. Multiple times I've seen God just pour out His blessings. But then when it comes to my life, I start slipping away. Why? Because, well, it's not laying out like I should. Like I think it should. I think it should be a certain way. I think it should fall along the lines of where I wanted down this path. God, you're trying to take me here, but, you know, I really should be here, because, you know, a lot of times we know better than He does, we think. A lot of times we get on our little, whatever you want to call it, your little self-righteous wagon or whatever you want to call it, and I think God ought to just follow and go with me. God, instead of me following you, you just hop on back and I'll take you where we want to go. A lot of times in my life, I've caught myself there. I've caught myself seeking what I wanted instead of what He wanted. I've caught myself, when something happens, then automatically I start wondering, you know, well, why are you doing this, God? Why does this happen? Why is this going on? But you see, a lot of times I've took myself out of His will. I've took myself out of what He wants. I've took myself out of where I should be with Him, because I started looking in myself and the flesh and what I wanted. You see, I want to live for God with everything I got, with everything I have. I want people to look at me and say, He is on fire for God. I want people to look at me and be like, boy, you got a spirit about you that's just, you just cannot hide it. That's what I want, but that's not what I have a lot of times, because I let my flesh get in the way. I don't live like I should. I say stuff I shouldn't. I do things I shouldn't. But I want to be completely sold out to God. And when you get reading this story, you see how a man holds on to God and how failure was never an option for him. You see, Joseph was his father's favorite son, and I'm sure since you were kids, you've been told about the coat of many colors. We was taught as children, that's what it was about. His dad loved him more than his brothers, but you see, his brothers had a hatred in their heart for him. Said they couldn't even speak peaceably to him. They hated him because of the jealousy. You know, there's many things that will come into our life that will pull us away from God, that will pull us down and that will hold us down, that will take us away from Him. Jealousy is one of them. They even let the jealousy turn into anger and turn into hatred to where they couldn't stand their brother. They didn't want to see him. They didn't want to look at him. When he come walking up to him out in the field, they was like, oh, great, here he comes again. So they said, I tell you what, we're going to kill him. And if you'd asked their brothers, they'd have never said, yeah, we're going to kill one of our brothers. But you see, they let it get in their heart and they let it dwell and they let it fester and then it become a hatred. And when the hatred produced forth, it become to, we want to kill him. One of the brothers, luckily Reuben, was like, ho, let's don't kill him. Let's just throw him in a pit. Let's don't kill him, though. So he saved his life there. You see, it looked like Reuben was the Savior, but you see, God had a divine purpose for him. God had a divine purpose in Joseph's life. And I've read this story time and time again as I was reading again today. I was just at different points in his life where you look and see where Joseph could have quit. Joseph could have given up. Where failure was an option for him, it seemed. Where if it would have been me, I would have given up and I would have quit. Because you see, the first trial that comes my way, I start questioning God. Then another trial on top of that starts coming my way and then I don't even know how to handle it. But you see, he says if we'll give it all to him, he'll take care of us. Because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He loved me enough to die on the cross for me. He loved me enough to carry my sins on that cross. So he's not going to leave me when I go through a trial. He's not going to leave me when I go through a trouble, when I go through any situations. But you see, we want God to do this path that we have laid out for our lives. But I think it's time that we get a hold of what God wants for our lives. We start seeing things through His eyes. We start seeking His will and His purpose in our lives. It says in verse 24, and they took him and cast him into the pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water in it. You go to 28, it says, then there passed by the Midianites, merchantmen. And they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. You see, they took his coat, they cut it, they dipped it in blood, and they told his dad he was dead. They told his dad he died. He was his favorite son. So now maybe they were thinking they'll get more love. Maybe they'll get that love that they was giving him. So apparently, they let that anger and that hatred developed to where they couldn't bear it no more. You see, we'll let stuff sneak into our lives and it'll do the same thing on us. It'll start out small, like it's no big deal. And the next thing you know, you've got people around you that are dragging you down. Because you see, a lot of times we feel like, well, we can build people up. Well, you know, that's my goal. I can build people up. Well, a lot of times you read the Word, it tells you, be careful who you hang around. We try to tell the kids' church and the teenagers, careful who you hang around. Careful who your friends are, because they'll eventually start pulling you down. They'll start weighing you down and being an anchor to you, and that's not what you want. You want to be with like-minded people. One of the sisters today, we was talking, and we were talking in Sunday school, and she was talking about her faith and all, and that's one of the things, and I told her, I was like, that's one of the importance of the church. We're to bear one another's burdens. We're to be here for each other. When you get up here and you sing and you get up here and preach, I don't want to say it's easy, but it's easier in the church because everybody out here is for you. Even if I do a terrible job and I go to leave, there ain't nobody going to say, God, you're stupid. What'd you get up here and do that for? Well, nobody has yet. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. That may change this evening. But nobody said that. You know why? Because people that are here for you. Because they're like-minded. Because we want to be in one mind and one accord. And that's what we was talking in Sunday school about. We're here to bear each other's burdens. We're there to lift each other up. When I see a brother or sister struggling and going through things, I shouldn't just keep to the side. I should let them know I'm praying for you. Why? Because I know the battle's on. And I know the battle's hard. We're talking that when we face battles sometimes, you know, it's easy if I got a headache to believe God to heal me. Because usually you'll take 2 Excedrin, say your prayer, and lay down, and you wake up, the headache's gone, and you're like, oh, thank you, Lord, for healing me. But what I've also seen, too, is when it's cancer, when it's a long trial and it takes people months and months to deal with. When it's something like Uncle Terry has faced, where it takes months and months and months to deal with. To me, I'm not saying Uncle Terry has it all, because every time I've talked to him, he's been encouraged. But that's when the devil starts beating us down, and he starts pulling us down, and he starts trying to be that anchor and holding us down. Because you see, he knows that if we'll tap into God's Spirit, into what he's got for us, that he can't hold us down. But if he can get it in our head that we cannot get victory over this, that we cannot, and you know what he'll do? He'll isolate you. He'll get you away from everybody that is like-minded, everybody that will encourage you, everybody that will pray for you, everybody that will lift you up. He'll get you away from them, and he'll get you isolated in your own little bubble. And if he can get you in your bubble by yourself and tell you there's nobody that loves you, there's nobody that's praying for you, there's nobody that cares for you, you're in this by yourself, that's where he'll get you, and that's where he'll pull you down. So you can't tell me church is not important, because this is where I come, and I got my brothers and my sisters lifting me up, telling me that I know it's hard. I know you're facing trials, and I know it's hard, but don't give up, because he's praying for you, and she's praying for you, and I'm praying for you, and they're praying for you. And that's the purpose of us. That's what we're for, to lift each other up, to build each other. We're not here to tear each other down. There's enough outside these walls that'll tear you down and beat you down and destroy you. Well, I say it's high time the church comes together and we start lifting each other up. We start praying and seeking God, and we start winning souls. See, I want to be set on fire for him, that when people, like when they walk by in the streets, the shadow was healing people. I want people, when I go by, I want to be like, he has got something and I got to have it. Why? Because that's the way I want to live. That's how I want to show God to the world. But you see, the devil's put blinders on them. He's told them, you're by yourself. They don't nobody care for you. They don't nobody love you. You're never going to be anything in this world. And you know what? I may not. But if I can make a difference in one person's life, then my life was worth it. My life was worth it if I can make a difference in one person's life. If one soul can be saved. You read on into Joseph, and you see how he had these dreams too at first, where his brothers were going to serve him, and they didn't like that. Well, then he had a dream about where his mom and dad were going to bow down to him as he's serving him. They're like, hold on now, son, it's all right with your brothers. That's what I'd be thinking. But your dad and all too, I don't know about all this. But you read in Joseph, so you see they sold him. Well, in 39, it says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hand of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. You see, there's something you'll notice about Joseph, no matter where he goes. The Lord was with Joseph. You know, he faced circumstances that weren't fair for him. His brothers hated him because he was his father's favorite. He sold into slavery, and now he's sold to Potiphar. Well, you see, Potiphar noticed there's something about him, that the Lord was with him. Well, if you read on about Joseph, you'll see how everything he did prospered, in so much that Potiphar, he didn't even worry with him. He let him do his own thing. He didn't question him. He didn't hound him. He let him do his own thing. Why? Because he knew that God was with him. And what does the devil do when God blesses us and something good happens? He does everything he can to tear us down. He has Potiphar's wife come and wants to lay with him. As he tells her time and time and time again, no. She finally catches a hold of his garment one day, and he leaves it in her hands and runs. Well, she turns it against him. And when she turns it against him, I think it's in verse 19. It says, and it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which he spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. You know, if you stopped reading the story right there, you'd feel sorry for Joseph. You'd feel bad. You'd feel like that was injustice done. But I'm here to tell you in your life that that's what the devil's going to try to do to you. The devil's going to try to fill you with this injustice and try to let things happen and tear you down and beat you down and pull you down. But you see, when we don't stop reading there, when it goes on, it says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keepers of the prison." So you see, wherever Joseph went, he prospered. Wherever Joseph went, God was with him. So understand that if the devil tries to tell you that you're by yourself, if the devil tries to tell you there's nobody that loves you, there's nobody that cares for you, there's nobody that's even going to reach out a prayer for you, he's wrong. He's trying to get people isolated. He's trying to get people tore away. He's trying to get people to where they quit putting their faith in God. Because you see, I told people at work, I was like, he don't necessarily care that you're a devil worshiper, but if he can pull you away from God, then he's got you where he wants you. Because he's got you alone and stranded with nobody to look up to, with nobody to look unto. And there's nothing we can do when we're out there by ourselves. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And that's what we have to keep telling ourselves every day, that God's got a plan for us. Okay, Joseph's in the prison, and you go down and you see where the baker and, I wrote it down so I didn't forget it, the butler, the chief butler, the baker in prison. Well, they had these dreams where Joseph interprets them. Well, the butler's dream is interpreted good. He sees three vines and the grapes, and he's squeezing them into Pharaoh's cup. And he's like, oh, man, that's a good dream. He says, you'll be restored into your position in 3 days. So, of course, the baker was like, well, interpret mine then, bud, if his is that good. He said, I had three baskets on my head. Birds come down and eat them. And he said, Pharaoh, or lift your head off your shoulders. You're going to be hanged. And he was hung. But the one thing Joseph told him, it says, don't forget me when you tell Pharaoh what happened. Don't forget me when he restores you. Don't forget me when he restores you. Just in case you're wondering, he forgot him. He got back into his position. And not only did he forget him, but he forgot him for 2 years. So by the time of 2 years, Joseph has already done. He's prospering in the jail still, in the prison, but he's still in the prison. To me, when you're prospering in the prison, you're still in the prison. It's good to be able to prosper in the prison, but you're still in the prison. You still don't have the freedom to go about to do what you want. But you see, God had a plan for his life. God had a purpose for him. Because you see, failure was not an option for him. Because see, Joseph could have given up. Joseph could have said, all right, God, I'm sick of serving you. Here I am. I've done all this stuff for you. I've interpreted these dreams. I've done this. And you just let these people forget me. Why? Why didn't you do this? Because you see, if we put our faith in man, a lot of times that's what we'll do. We'll put our faith in them, and then we'll blame God when they don't do. Look, don't put your faith in me because I'll fail you. I don't want to. I want to do anything for anybody that I can, but I will let you down and fail you all day long. So we got to put our faith in God, and we got to seek God as Joseph did. So if we go on to verse 40 and verse 23, it says, yeah, did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but he forgot him. Well, Pharaoh had a dream. And Pharaoh had this dream, and nobody else could interpret it. It was 2 years later. And finally, the butler remembered him and said, I know somebody. Like I was telling kids in kids' church, you know, you couldn't come before the king or Pharaoh. You had to be probably dressed. Well, in the prison, I'm sure he didn't look the best, smell the best. So run him up there, washed him, bathed him, clothed him, shaved him, got him presentable where he'd go in front of the king. But you see, when he come before Pharaoh, he told him what it was. Pharaoh said, I got this stuff that's bothering me, and I need to find somebody that can interpret it. And he tells him, he's like, I know exactly what it is. You're going to have 7 years of plenty, and you're going to have 7 years of famine. And he said in verse 40, it's chapter 41 and verse 34, so let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years to come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. That food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. You see, this was a prisoner. This was a man who, if you looked at it, the world would have told you there's no way he'll rise to second in command because he's a prisoner. Because he tried to sleep with Potiphar's wife, he was wrong. Apparently he was a slave already, they had sold him, so he must have done something wrong anyhow. Because you know how we just assume stuff of people. We don't find out and look for the best. We just assume the worst in them. So we see Joseph's road. We see what he's traveled, and we see that it's not always been good. But we see that it's been more bad than good when you look at it. But you see how God never left him. He's always prospered. He's always done well because he's always put his focus on God. He's always give his heart to God, and he's always lived for him. You see, a lot of times I feel like when I go through trials, I'll start pulling away and I'll get into by myself away from everybody. Why? Whether it's shame, whether it's fear, whether it's doubt, whatever it may be, that's what I'll do. I'll start pulling away. Well, I don't need to bother Sister Brenda with this because she's got enough to pray for. I don't need to bother Brother Eddie because he's got enough going on. I don't want to call and bother my mom and dad. Everybody's got enough going on. But when it comes to prayer and when it comes to seeking God, then ain't nobody got enough, too much going on that we can't take a minute and we can't pray for each other. We ain't got enough going on that we can't take time and lift one another up and encourage each other and build each other up. Because you see, if the devil can get us pulled away and if he can get us beat down, and he can get us tore down. Because see, these trials in our life, that's how he wants us to see them. It's trials that have been beat down and tore down. And you see, the ones that take us a while is the one where he starts chipping away little by little. Little by little, he's beating us down and he's tearing us down. And finally, he'll get you to where you're on the ground and you ain't got nowhere to go. You got nobody to look to because he's took you away from everybody. You've been out of the church. You've been out of touch with people. You don't want to talk to nobody when they call you. And the devil's got you right where he wants you when you're down. He'll beat you down and he will hold you down and not let you up. But I'm here to tell you that you can't stay down. We've got to get up. When you feel like you can't get up, get up. When you feel like you've been beat down, and you feel like you've been pulled down, get up. Don't stop laying there. Don't stop getting up. Because you see, the problem don't come when you fall. The problem comes when you stop getting up. Because you see, if you fall, it's okay. God's still there to lift you up. But if you stay down, there ain't nothing He can do. You got to get up. You got to know that He's got a purpose for you. I don't know what you're facing in your life. I don't know what you got going on. But I know obstacles are hard. I know life is hard. I know it is. And I know it'll tear you down and it will destroy you if you'll let it. But I'm here to tell you tonight that God said, I'll bring you through it. Don't give up. Don't just lay there and be beat down. It's time we stand up for God. We live in a world where we have to accept everything except for His Word. We have to accept everything but this right here. This is what they tell us. Well, you got to accept this and you got to accept transgender and you got to accept that and you got... I don't have to accept that. What I have to accept is this Word. What I have to accept is His promise that He said, I'll bring you through it. I'll carry you through it. And if I'll stand on His Word, then it don't matter what the world does to me. Let them kill me. Let them beat me. I don't care. Do you know why? Because this world is just temporary. It's just temporary. We got to hang on to His Word. So many times I see our generation getting away further and further and further away from the Word. We know less and less about what God's Word said. We know less and less about standing in and praying for people, about what that means and the comfort given to people for that. When people can't come and people's hurt and people's down, it ain't our job to kick them. It ain't our job to tear them down. It's not our job to judge them and tell them, well, see, I told you if you'd have been living right, then these things would happen. This wouldn't have happened. That ain't our job. You know what my job is? My job is to stand in there and say, I'll stand for you. Because if the devil's pulling you down, he ain't going to pull both of us down. We're both going to stand up here. And if he pulls us both down, then we'll go find another brother. Or we'll find another sister in the church that he's not going to hold us down. We can't let him beat us down and hold us there. Because if he can hold us there, then he's winning. And I'm not going to let him win. We fought too hard our lives. Our parents and grandparents have fought too hard praying and seeking God's will, praying for our lives. I fought too hard for my kids' lives for me to let the devil tear them away. Amen. I'm not going to stand by. I'm not going to let him just destroy it. Not without a fight, I'm not. Because I got his promises in this word. Train a child up in the way they'll go.
Amen.
You see, Joseph could have given up. But Joseph's in his mind. He said, failure is not an option. You know, I look in my life, and I got things that happen in situations, but you know what I stand? I say, you know what? Failure's not an option for me. If I fail in my life, maybe to be in my job, maybe to be in my home, but I never want it to be that I fail God. If I fail in my job, then we'll still be okay. I'm a firm believer God will provide for you. If I failed my job and I lost it tomorrow, I believe God will take care of me. If my wife lost hers tomorrow, I believe God will still take care of us. But if I'm not sold out to Him, and if I lose my soul because I'm so worried about this world and what goes on in it, then I've lost everything. You see, if I can hold on to His promises, if I can hold on to His truth, if I can hold on to what I know. You see, I can tell you what God's done for other people, what they've said. But all I know is what God's done for me. I've watched God move in x-rays. I've watched God move and heal and deliver. I've watched Him heal my dad. I've watched Him heal my mother. I've watched God move in so many people's lives. So many people's lives. Failure's not an option. It shouldn't even be in our vocabulary as Christians, because we're not going to fail. We got to hold strong. You see, we ain't been cast into prison. We ain't been forgot about for 2 more years. You may not be in Pharaoh's house right now, second in command, but just hold on to what God's got for you. Because you see, failure is not an option. Giving up is not an option. We've got to seek God and hold strong to what He's got. We've got to hold on, because if you look, you know, a lot of times you read this story and you look at his brothers and think, you know what, if I ever had a chance to meet his brothers, I'd have killed him if I was him. Well, you know what? Joseph was in the perfect spot. Joseph was right where God had planned for him to be, right where he needed to be. And he did mess with his brother some. If you'll read, he messed with him a little bit. But if you'll read in chapter 45, verses 4 through 7, it said, Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. I bet they like to pass out. I am your brother. I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. I know some people have been wronged in their lives. I know you have. I've probably wronged people in my life, unfortunately. But don't let, if somebody's wronged you, destroy who you are. You know what the hardest thing to do sometimes is forgive somebody and let it go. Why? Because we tell ourselves that they don't deserve it. Well, let me ask you a question. When in the world did we get so self-righteous that we deserved it? I don't deserve for people to forgive me. And I don't know what people face and what people go through. But if you've been wronged, just forgive them. It releases you anyhow, more than it does them. I've always been told, forgiving someone is not really for that person. It's for you. The devil will use it as an anchor. He'll hold you down, and he'll destroy you with it. The devil's got so many weapons these days. You look at our children. Everybody's got phones now, and you got the world at your fingertips. Some of it's good, some of it's terrible. You look at what they have to face inside schools now, and they have to accept everything. And if they're a Christian, then they're the outcast, you know. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. I told my kids, I said, if I ever have to come to your school because you stood up for God and what you believed in, that would be the happiest day of my life. You're going to be okay. Don't worry about it. But unfortunately, it is at times. Our kids face these things. But we got to forgive people. And we got to start living for God. We got to start seeking God. Because Joseph didn't give up when times got hard. And look, I'm not telling you it's always easy to serve God. I'm not telling you that you're not going to face trials and situations. I'm not telling you that you're not going to face things that test you to your limit. But what I am telling you is that if you'll put it in your mind that failure is not an option, you will not fail. Because if you'll put your faith in God, He's going to hold the throne. He's going to bring you through it. I firmly believe with everything I have, Uncle Terry, he'll be long, he'll be sitting back here. Because I know God can bring him through it. I don't want to be a person that gets by myself and gets isolated away from everyone or everything. What I want to be is someone who stands for God. I want to be someone who encourages others and builds others. And look, I'm not that person. I fail. There's a guy we work with, and I told him one had the greatest, attributes, whatever, of him was he could encourage anybody. I'd get down out of the bucket or doing whatever, and he'd be like, man, you did a great job. I'd be like, shut up and get out of here. But he did. He could encourage anybody. That's his thing. That's what he done. He could just encourage anybody. He'd make you just want to go up there and do it 10 more times, you know. That's how I want to be with people with Christ. I want to encourage you. I want to tell you to hold strong. I know the trials are hard. I know what you're facing may be tough. It may be rough, and you may feel like, I don't know if I'll ever see an end. But I promise you, you will. You'll see an end. Because when you hold on to Him, you got your whole church family here praying for you and praying with you. They standing here beside you and they standing right with you. Ain't nobody going to let you fall by yourself. And if you fall, don't worry. We'll fall and get up together. So hold strong to God. Put in your mind, failure is not an option when it comes to Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to bring forth the word, Brother Eddie. I truly, humbly just feel that I'm probably the last person that should be up here preaching, but I praise God for the opportunity. I praise Him for a hunger and a desire for His Word. I praise Him for what He's done in my life. I thank Him for that. Thank you for your time. If you will, just put in your mind, failure is not an option. When you go through something, just remember, failure is not an option. Joseph didn't. He held strong, and he was the second in command. And if you'll hold tight to what God's got for you, then you'll do nothing but succeed, I'm here to tell you.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Tony, for bringing that wonderful and timely word. Failure is not an option. The journey may be long, it may be treacherous, but it'll be worth it after all. I was thinking as Brother Tony was bringing this wonderful message, so many of the patriarchs of old had a long testing journey to go through. Things didn't always go like they planned to. But God always had a plan, as Brother Mara preached that night. And God had a plan for Joseph. When God has a plan, He doesn't fill us in on the details every time, does He? He doesn't me. Amen. Sometimes it gets a little bit burdensome. Sometimes Satan wants us to give up and quit. But thank the Lord that we can't. Failure is not an option. We should never, ever think that we don't have an option, amen, to serve the Lord. Because God will always make a way, even when there seemeth no way. Would you stand tonight? If you have a need or if you want to come to the altar tonight, you know this altar is always open. As Brother Tony said, we're here to hold one another up. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, but also praying one for another. Amen. So if you have a need, amen, we'll pray with you and we'll pray for you, knowing and believing that God is able to do all things. Do we have any believers in the house tonight, those that God can do all things? Let's pray for this sister. Amen. Glory to God.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come, God, as we anoint our sister, Lord, Father, we know, God, that with your stripes, Lord, we are healed. Father, we claim that healing tonight. Lord, we pray that you would touch her body. Lord, that you would strengthen her body, heal her, Lord, and make her whole right now. God, honor her faith. Honor the prayers of this church. Lord, as we agree in one mind and one accord, God, for the touching of the anointing of her body, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Glory to God. Speak healing, Lord, into her body. Right then, touch her. Anoint her, Lord. Make her whole. In the precious name of Jesus, we call it God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
And it all must be.
because you prayed on high, because you held on with all of your might. Child, your cries have awoken the Master.
Sometimes we need to walk out of that valley. Get back to the mountaintop with God. My, what a wonderful message. Amen. The Spirit of God is so real and so blessed. Man, I just love the Lord and thank Him for His goodness and mercy. And I pray for each and every one of you during this upcoming week. And let's get a real, real burden for our lost loved ones. Let's pray. God would just move on their lives. You know, I wish we could just say, Lord, just do it. Amen. But sometimes we have to remember how that we were when people were praying for us. I did not readily accept the call nor readily come to the altar. But people didn't give up on me. And thank God, let's don't give up on our loved ones. Amen. All right. If you love the Lord tonight, say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. God bless you. We love you. Let's just have a word of prayer. With this prayer, we'll be dismissed. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you so much, and we're so thankful, God, for your goodness, your grace, your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for those who gathered here tonight. God, and for the outpouring of your Spirit. Father, the precious word that we heard tonight, and for the man that stood and brought it. Lord, pray, God, that you would continue to bless and touch those who stand in need of prayer tonight. There are many. Many are sick. Many are afflicted. And Father, still, there's plenty that are lost in the world today. And I pray, God, for a stirring of their hearts. God, revive them. Bring them to an altar of repentance. Wherever it is, God, it doesn't have to be in this church. Just save them somewhere. Even if it's there in their home, God, let there be a change in their life. And God, let them lay down the world and pick up the Word of God and follow you. And Lord, we ask for your safekeeping during this week. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love each and every one of you.
What are you playing?